Welcome to Tea Time with Monica. Are you ready to spill some tea?
Hello, loves, and welcome to Tea Time with Monica. Today, we are discussing how to increase your libido with Dr. Jessica O'Reilly. Some of you may know her from her podcast, Sex with Dr. Jess. So let me tell you the tea on Dr. Jess before we start this conversation. She is a Toronto-based sexologist, author, and television personality. She has worked with thousands of couples from all corners of the globe to transform their relationships via her wildly successful marriage as a business program, which I'm so interested to hear about that after we kick off the libido conversation. Dr. Jess, her doctoral research focused on sexual health. She is passionate about accessible classroom-based education, which kudos for that because we need to do that, definitely. And as a global ambassador for several brands, Dr. Jess contributes regularly to the biggest names in international media. You'll find her advice weekly in likes of Women's Health, Men's Fitness, Cosmopolitan, Self, Showtime, and the Movie Network. Welcome, Dr. Jess.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, we are so excited to get this because, I mean, this is airing in May, so it's, you know, National Masturbation Month, so excited to talk about getting that libido working. So yeah. I have a quote I want to start with. The quote says, "In most cases, your libido isn't lost or broken. It's just buried under a lot of stuff." What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, isn't that the case? Especially after the, you know, last 14 or 15 months that we've been through, it is buried under so many things, whether it's stress, exhaustion, tension, depression or depressive symptoms, anxiety, hypertension, hypervigilance, all of these things. And it's interesting because we often think of libido as something that lives inside of us, as opposed to something that we can create. So the desire for sex, sure, it can come from what you're feeling inside your body in the moment, but it can also come from, some sort of a stimulus, something your partner says to you, a thought or memory or visual you access in your mind or on your computer. It can come from touching yourself. It can come from something physical. So this notion that sexual desire has to occur spontaneously is right. A big part of what holds us back.
So how do we combat this? Like, what do we have to do? Because like you said, you talked about mental, you know, health issues, physical health issues, you know, intimacy issues. There's a lot to unpack there, right?
Yeah, there really is. And so sex, of course, doesn't occur in a vacuum. We have this notion that, oh, if everything is good in the relationship, then sex will follow. Or if the sex is good, we'll want to have it. But the reality is there are many things that interfere. So how do we combat? I think the first piece is just the cognitive piece of knowing that sexual desire does not always occur spontaneously, right? So you don't work all day. Maybe you have a kid and you have to help the kid. Maybe you're homeschooling the kid right now because of, you know, a lot of people are still working from home. You make dinner, you help them with homework, you do the dishes, maybe you get them bathed, you get into bed, and then all of a sudden you and your partner want to tear one another's clothes off spontaneously. Or, you know, speaking of solo sex as well, if it's masturbation may here, you may not want to reach down and take care of yourself either. So the reality is that spontaneous desire for sex can be far less common than what we call responsive or cultivated desire for sex. Meaning if you have that same stressful, busy, totally unsexy day, but you do something to physically turn yourself on. So you work on the physical arousal first, then you can cultivate, or you'll see your body responds with sexual desire. So the point is sometimes if you're not in the mood, put yourself in the mood, right? So reach for a toy, use your hand, use the removable head of the shower, the shower spray, you know, anything you can do to get yourself physically turned on. What might follow is that the mental or the, you know, the libido or desire piece follows. So that's one piece. The other has to do with, you know, what do you like sexually? Because sometimes we don't want sex because it's not that satisfying. Ooh. Sometimes we're not in the mood for sex because we're doing the same damn thing over and over again. And it's not necessarily our partner's fault. Oftentimes, you know, we look for these deficits outside of ourselves and we say, well, my partner does this or my partner doesn't do that, or I like this and they're not doing it. Well, the big question to me is, have you communicated that to them with patience and understanding. We have this notion that people are good and bad, like, oh, he's a great lover, they're a great lover. But the reality is you're only a great lover to specific people, right? So what you like in bed might be totally different than what I like in bed. And so it's our responsibility to let our partners know what we're into. And then here's the other piece. Many of us don't even know what we like, right? We, you know, in the absence of comprehensive sex education that depicts pleasure in its many, many forms, we know that our primary source of this education is pornography. And pornography, of course, doesn't necessarily reflect our real, lived, diverse experiences.
Ooh, can you unpack that? Because so many people I know, especially now, I think it was it Pornhub was just letting people have like the free, you know, access to it during the pandemic. It's like, I got to get off some way. I got to get rid of this stress some way. So it's like people are watching porn and then you have so many ideas of what you can do in bed, but it's not the reality of what everybody does in bed.
Absolutely. So porn can be exciting and titillating and hot, and it can help to get you in the mood when you're not in the mood. So it's a wonderful tool. And it's not necessarily a tool that is designed with education in mind. Right. So it is primarily a visual medium, and sex is not just a visual act. So it's very, when you're performing for the camera, I would presume you're more focused on your movements and what they look like as opposed to necessarily what they feel like. Now, this is not the case for every single porn production out there. You know, I know some porn performers and producers who are really focused on allowing the performers and emphasizing that the performers do what feels good for them. But even in the context of that, it's still a visual medium, right? So there's a lot of bouncing up and down. There's a lot of arching and moving around. And the reality is, for example, for people with vulvas, people with clitorises, that kind of poking in and out and in and out and bouncing up and down does not massage the head, the shaft, the internal bulbs of the clitoris. And so it can look really good and it can turn you on. That's cool. Doesn't turn everyone on, obviously, but it's maybe not going to feel so good. Maybe you like more rubbing and grinding. Maybe you like more full body pleasure. Maybe you get off more when your partner goes down on you. Maybe you're more of a vibrator person. Maybe you're more of an anal person. Maybe it's the emotional connection for you that's really exciting. And so I think where we begin is with ourselves. So really start thinking about, you know, your sexual values. So my latest book is called The Ultimate Guide to Seduction and Foreplay, and it's co-authored by the fabulous Marla Renee Stewart. And in this book, we offer hundreds of exercises and prompts and questions and reflection pieces for people to start thinking about what sex means to them. So we could begin, for example, with the sexual values questionnaire, where you can start thinking about, you know, what were the early messages that you learned about sex?
Right.
Which of those are really valuable today? What were the sources? Which do you want to emphasize? Which ones do you perhaps need to retool or relinquish altogether? Other things that we'd encourage you to consider, you know, why do you have sex? What are the physical benefits that you hope to drive? What are the emotional? What are the relational? What are the practical? What perhaps for some people spiritual? What does sex mean to you? Because what you'll find with libido, and I know we moved away from libido a little, but it all goes back to the more you know about your own desires and needs, the more you reflect upon them, the better you can communicate them to partners, and the more you can do what it takes to get you in the mood. So for example, you know, I can show you different techniques for touch that might turn you on. They might not, everybody's different. Right. But more importantly, I always ask people to think about their core erotic feeling. How do you like to feel in order to get in the mood for sex, right? Do you want to feel sexy? Do you want to feel desired? Do you want to feel loved? Do you want to feel powerful? Do you want to feel a sense of risk? Do you want to feel a challenge? And everybody's different, right? Most people are familiar with the
phrases
of love. And I, you know, of course, those are a little bit reductive, and definitely the author, you know, is rooted in a very specific way of thinking. But this is a similar approach, but I would say more broad and more nuanced, right? I don't have a quiz for you for the core erotic feeling. I do have some questions in the book that can help you to kind of walk through, but it's just the beginning of the conversation. So if you can start with the emotional piece, even when we think of fantasies, people will come to me and say, oh, well, you know what? I want to have a threesome. And I'll say, okay, why do you want to have a threesome? Crickets. Right. I don't know why I'm a threesome. I've seen them porn.
I think people say they want to have a threesome because they hear about it, it's popular, or they've seen it on porn.
Exactly. The pizza delivery guy comes, he puts down the pizza, he lets the pizza get cold, and all of a sudden three people are in an entanglement.
Right.
Physical entanglement. So, yeah. So then I ask, you know, what is it you want to feel in the threesome? Do you want to feel the power of, like, maybe exercising power or control over two people? Do you want to feel desired, right? A lot of hetero men, mm-hmm. when I ask them and dig a little deeper with the threesome, they want to know that they're desired too, because our hetero culture is so focused on making women feel sexy and feel wanted and get compliments and whatnot. And so part of that fantasy for a lot of hetero men is that missing link around, well, I want to feel like somebody wants me too, right? I want to feel so desirable that two people want me at the same time. And other people will say to me, well, no, I want the threesome because I want the physically overwhelming sensation of all those hands and body parts and genitals and boobs and tongues all over me.
Right.
And so once you think about what it is you want to feel at the core, then you can work out, even if you can't access every single one of your fantasies. And in fact, many of us don't want to live out many of our fantasies. It's harder to oftentimes for many of us think of a threesome and play with it than to actually go out and get it. And so if you can access the underlying desires, the underlying feelings, you can play with those on your own, with a partner, with multiple partners, however it is you play. And so I think a great place to start with libido is, how do you want to feel? Like, what emotions put you in the mood? And then another exercise I ask of people is to make a fire and ice list.
Oh, what is that?
Well, it's as simple as the fire. Well, you can use this in different ways, but specifically around desire levels. Mm-hmm. Fire is everything that could potentially put you in the mood, right? So it could be when my partner sends me like a sexy text during the day. It could be when I see my toys out on my bedside mantle. It could be when they kiss me passionately. It could be when I think and fantasize about this time on that cruise ship, blah, blah, blah. It could be when I know the laundry's put away. It could be, you know, when I watch something hot on Netflix rather than, you know, a heavy documentary before I hop into bed. So anything at all. And then similarly, ice is everything that cools your libido. And then once you have those lists put together, you'll see that some of them are relational, some of them are practical, some of them are sexual, some of them have to do with your lifestyle. And so you can think about, well, what can I change in my life? How can I emphasize the former, meaning the fire list, and how can I de-emphasize or reduce the ice list so that I have more of that in my life? So if you tell me, oh, well, I have a high libido, or I'm, you know, I have a high desire for sex when I feel really sexy. Okay, well then what makes you feel sexy, right? Is it when you relax and spend time with people you love? Is it when you work out? Is it when you get dressed
up? For me, it's lingerie. If I have a lingerie, I tell my friends that all the time though, like, I can have on the most conservative outfit, but if under that I know I've got something sexy on, you can't stop me. I'm like power enraged, and then it makes me feel sexy. And that libido is all the way up there.
Is it like, do you love the fact that it's your little secret?
Yeah, like it's, oh, you think I'm this, like, because my 9 to 5, I work in, you know, DC political arena. So it's like, you know, you got to kind of be a little conservative. But under that, I've got a little lacy sexy, and it feels good to my body. And I know I can work the room.
I love that. I love that. And so have you had a chance to wear that over the last year? I feel like everybody, you know, so many of us are in sweatpants and, you know, I've been wearing, you know, the same pair of sweatpants around the house.
Right. But I wear lingerie around the house. And like, because I do like some influencer stuff on social media for plus size women, my Valentine's Day shoot, I wear something like very like red and racy from Savage Fenty. So I just had to do it. I was just like, I've got to shoot this lingerie.
I love it. And does it, you know, even for work, putting it on for work, I know is a totally different thing, right? Because you're kind of forced to do it. But is it sort of like, I don't know, going and working out, you don't want to do it, you force yourself to do it, and then you feel better after?
I got to actually look good to work out because I don't want to work out. Like, I need cute workout clothes, something with some mesh, something that looks a little sexy, because if it doesn't, I'm like, what am I doing this for? I'm not getting sexy. I look like a bum.
Oh, that's a good tip for me, because I'm always in my, like, yeah, kind of yucky clothes. I should dress to work out. I'm not good at working out. It's something that, like, you know, for the last year and few months since I've been home, I'm like, okay, I'm going to wake up and work out. And then I'm like, I'm probably batting 2%. So maybe that's what I need to do, is put on like a pair of shorts and a sports bra or something instead of these kind of, you know, baggy
sweat clothes. Yeah, I think for me, it's just it's a visual thing sometimes for me, for myself, not when I'm with somebody, but like for me in the mirror, when I look in the mirror in the morning or before I go out, if I don't look sexy, if I'm not feeling the look, I'm probably like, I don't know, not turned off for the whole day, but in that moment, I'm not feeling my sexiest. So my libido might be a little down.
Right. Yeah. So you've figured out what it is for you. Like, right. I think for me, it's I'm a very non-visual person. In fact, I struggle with the visual. I'm definitely more literal. So I'm more audio. Right. Yeah. So when I think about seduction, I like sounds. I like words. I'm a very verbal person. I like when there's something that I've never heard before. A certain tone of voice can really excite me.
Yeah.
And so figuring that out is also really important. So, you know, one thing I try and do is get people away from the idea of libido, and because that sounds like something kind of scientific, like it's like I have this much testosterone or this much estrogen, and move mm-hmm. toward desire, because desire is definitely something that you can experience on like totally spontaneously, but it also really can be cultivated. And so Marla in our book helps people to determine their seduction learning styles that helps to get them in the mood and create desire. So are you more audio? Are you more visual, or are you more kinesthetic? And so lingerie can be both visual and kinesthetic, right? Like the way it looks on your body and the way it feels against your skin.
Yep.
And that for me, that's not particularly relevant, right? For me, it's the words. It's also energy, right? Like I like a lot of adrenaline. I'm used to living with all these spikes in adrenaline from my old lifestyle, which hopefully I'll go back to as we all get vaccinated and
right.
out of this pandemic. I'm a little farther behind you because up in Canada, where our vaccination schedule is not as not as organized. We don't have as much supply, is the way to put it, as Americans. So we're a little bit, a couple months behind you up here. But I miss that adrenaline. That really affects my natural or spontaneous desire for sex. So what I've found, in order to cultivate desire, I have to get these little kind of spikes in adrenaline, whether it's from moving around or doing something fun. Like we're not allowed to do very much right here still. We're on what's called a stay-at-home order.
Oh.
But we're in our third wave, but we are allowed to go out and exercise. So even just going in for a little hike where there's a little bit of a climb, I can see that really not only affects my mood, but also my desire for sex.
So. But you know what? I noticed that when I'm paying attention to like what I eat and I'm exercising, I am on all day. I'm like, and being single, it doesn't help because it's like, where is the toy? And oh my gosh. Hold on, give me a second. Sorry.
No worries.
Sorry, audience.
We you got had a excited little there.
I got excited, right. So it really is a good turn on, like when I exercise and eat right, which gets me to my next question. Are there any foods or natural supplements that people can use for their libido? Because, you've heard about like maca root. There's some TikTok, TikTokers, telling about different foods. I looked on TikTok and one day I saw like a sex dot cereal. They had like coconut water, blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, honey, granola, and almond milk. And it listed like why these combination of foods is good for your libido. So I'm just wondering, is any of that, true with the supplements or anything?
So yes and no. So it's not as though, if I take maca right now, I'm going to have this huge difference in desire necessarily for most people. However, in the long run, in the big picture, your diet does play a big role in sexual desire. If you eat food that makes you feel lethargic, if you eat food that adversely affects your mood, those things that make you feel sluggish can of course affect your libido or your desire for sex. Similarly, if you're eating foods that leave you feeling down or kind of frustrated, that can also affect whether or not you're in the mood. The other piece we know is that how you eat, when you eat. So the simplest things, like if you have a heavy meal and then hop into bed, that might reduce the likelihood of actually being in the mood for sex. Now, we do have, some research on different foods and how they affect desire. So maca, for example, so it's a root vegetable from Peru, and you can get it in supplement form. It's a member, actually, apparently, of the broccoli and cabbage family, and it's just a good source of minerals and vitamins. It has been associated with increasing fertility, boosting sexual desire, stamina. So there was a study where taking powdered maca supplement was associated with a significant reduction in psychological symptoms related to depression and anxiety and sexual dysfunction in comparison to a placebo. So we also see fenugreek, which is popular in South Asian dishes and in Ayurvedic medicine. And there is some research that it can be associated with increasing sexual arousal. All those other things you mentioned, like honey and almonds and nuts, absolutely. Foods that are, for example, aphrodisiacal. So for example, oysters. So yes, they also kind of resemble something very sexy, and the way you slurp them into your mouth is very sensual, but also their zinc content has been associated with positive sexual functioning. So I would suggest, not that I'm not a dietitian, but looking at your diet overall and eating in a way that feels good for you physically, but also feels good for you psychologically, right? Like, we have some very dangerous diet culture messages out there around, depriving yourself or not being deserving. I'm really of the belief that, we have this short time on this earth. Of course, you want to eat in a way that feels good. But that's not just about the physical, right? That's also about, sometimes for me, yesterday I had this really delicious coconut cream pie and this hazelnut espresso brownie. That felt really good for me because they just tasted so good. And the indulgence of it, just like sex, right? You want to do things that feel good in your body. Now, I didn't have 15 brownies to the point that I had a tummy ache. I mean, I am I'm guilty of that at times. I tend to, when I love something, I overeat. And then I end up with a tummy ache. But yeah, I think overall, just looking at, what foods make you feel good, and everybody's different. That's the other thing. The research can say, even if research came out and said, this is true in 99% of cases, it may not be true in your case, right? 7 billion people in the world, 1% is a huge number. And no research ever is really at a 99th percentile anyway. So you have to kind of do what feels good for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You mentioned the sugary foods. So I know, I love to indulge in chocolate. I love good sugar, right? But if I overdo it, I feel like I'm out of it. Like, I've got to take a nap. I don't feel like I want to do anything. So I guess overindulging, it's like you got to have that right balance, right? Is that what we're looking for, a good balance?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's different for every person, right? I really think that, if I eat next to my partner, we eat different amounts of food. And actually, I think food and sex are two great parallels because they have so much in common, yet we certainly stigmatize sex more intensely than we do food, for the most part. I think some people face more food stigma according to race, according to size, according to weight, all of those, according to gender as well, and relationship status. All these things do intersect, but they're both about pleasure. They, food and sex cause similar responses in the brain. They're both, required for the life force, right? Without them, the human race would not go on, although we do have technological advancements now where we don't really need, the sex itself. And people certainly don't all have-
Wait, I don't know what you're talking about. We need the sex, look.
But I mean, many of the types of sex we're having aren't reproductive anyway.
Right.
All the sex I have is not for reproductive purposes, and I'll just share it. The things that I'm doing with my partner could not possibly result in reproduction.
Right.
So, or highly unlikely.
That means you're having some fun here and there. Well, we have sex for pleasure, we have sex for reproductive issues, and sometimes it's both. So I think, depending on what you're trying to get out of the sex, it's going to be pleasurable for you if you're doing it.
I hope so, right? Make pleasure the focus.
Yeah.
Like that's what makes sex great, right? It's not how long you last, how hard you are, how many orgasms you have, how wet you are, how much you spray. It really is, did it feel good for you, right? Mm. And if we could tune back into that, does this feel good? We don't have to worry about where we do it or how many positions or, the intensity. Just do what feels good and don't worry about measuring ourselves against, honestly, a porn standard. Like, that's the other issue with porn, is like the penis is always hard. The vagina is always super wet. There's always some sort of, not always, but oftentimes some sort of ejaculation. It lasts forever and ever. And so we get hung up on measuring ourselves against that, which not only is, you know, a losing battle because that's a performance, there's lots of stuff happening behind the scenes, but also it's a losing battle in terms of pleasure. Because mm-hmm. while we're focused on how hard we are, how many orgasms we have, are we actually enjoying ourselves, right? That is not necessarily a measure of pleasure.
Right. Now, question, will boring sex decrease your libido? Because if you're feeling like, I'm not getting this pleasure, if I don't feel desired, like how, if it does decrease it, then how do we get back to that exciting sex?
Right. So for some people, they're less interested in sex when it's boring. Absolutely. And sex that's boring doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't feel good, but it's just not as enticing, perhaps. It may not be as exciting. And it's okay if you're having sex that isn't that exciting. I think a lot of us right now are just having maintenance sex, right? It's like, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm very down. You know, we're frustrated with the world right now. And so sometimes you just need to get off and that's okay. But you might find that you're less interested in doing it because there isn't that same enticement. And so how do we fix that? Well, we need to change things up. So you might set a rule like, for example, well, I'm not going to have sex in the bed, anywhere around the bed, anywhere in the house, but not in the bed this month. And let's see if that's more exciting. You might try something new. It might be just bringing in a new lube or bringing in a new toy. It might be that you have more intense sexual discussions. So, for example, another conversation we outline in the book pertains to sexual fantasies and how to explore sexual fantasies, even if only in conversation, right? So talking about what your latest sex dream was, talking about a peak erotic sexual experience, talking about the thematic elements of your fantasies, just having those conversations, talking about sex tends to lead to more fulfilling and exciting sex. So if you are feeling a little bored or a little stale, the number one thing you can do is to actually have a conversation, to talk about things that excite you, maybe just share a recent sex dream. Even if it made no sense, like many of our dreams make no sense. Our sex dreams don't necessarily reflect what we're into, but it starts a conversation. So I do think that the conversation is the most important piece for, you know, dealing with boredom in the bedroom.
Right. Now, speaking of like what we're going through now, do you think the work at home aspect is hindering sex or making people want to have sex? Because, you know, they say, don't bring your work home, try to keep that away so you can have the pleasures you need at home.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a mix. So we're hearing from many couples who are really bored with each other. They're overexposed in places where we're still living in bubbles. They're the only person you get to see. And it's just not as enticing because it's so familiar, right? And so spending a little time apart, even going for walks separately, working in your own spaces, not having every single meal at every single time together can help for some people. You don't have to do all those things. Like me personally, I prefer to eat with my partner, but creating a little bit of distance can be good. But yeah, I do think the overexposure is adversely affecting many relationships. Having said that, I am hearing from some folks who are enjoying not necessarily more frequent sex, but more fulfilling sex at this time because they're having more of these conversations. We're having more emotionally revealing and deep and vulnerable conversations, right? For the first time, people are, you know, over the past year, we've been talking more openly about fear, about insecurity, about feelings of hopelessness, about anxiety, about feeling down and feeling sad. And I think the access to the language of those emotions and actually being a little bit more honest about what we're feeling has created more intimacy, which lays the groundwork for sometimes, you know, more fulfilling sex.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I'm a single girl. So can we talk about some of these sex toys that you, because I was looking on your Instagram page and I think I saw the Oh My G toy that you had.
It's just over there. Should I get it?
Yeah, grab it right quick.
Okay, 1 second.
Audience, if you have not seen this toy, oh my gosh, it's amazing. I looked at it and I needed it, but we're going to let Dr. Jess grab this toy and see what it's all about because I was a little enticed. So I might have to get it.
Yes. Oh, so this is such a cool toy. It uses a massaging pearl to massage your G-spot. So it is curved like a C, so it goes in against the G-zone. Mm-hmm. I know it looks big, but you're really only putting this top little part inside of the vaginal canal. So if you don't like too deep penetration, it's perfect for that. Right. Plus the G-spot isn't very deep. So let me see if I can turn it on here. and show you how it works for those folks who are tuning into the video.
Right.
So it's a curve for folks who can't see the video. It's a curved toy and it has a pearl that is about the size of, oh, I'm always terrible at describing sizes. It's bigger than my thumbnail. I'll come up with a size in just a moment.
I think it's like that first digit in your finger. Is it?
Thank you.
Yeah, like the first digit.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm always terrible with, I'm like, what do I see? My thumbnail.
I'm looking at the pulsating up and down and that's when I was like, oh, I'm intrigued.
Yes, so you see this pearl kind of pulse in and out. And so I have it on the lowest setting and I can increase the speed or I'll turn it all the way up if you like a little bit more. I prefer the lowest setting personally myself, but I know a lot of people like the highest setting and it's very, very quiet. I think it was developed by a couple who were trying not to wake up their children with their vibrators. So it's nice and quiet and it's by Ioba Toys. It's called the Oh My G. I actually do have a discount code if people wanna. Pretty big discount code too. It's Dr. Jess, DRJESS. And I believe it's 30% off. And folks can find the links in my Instagram as well if they go into my profile. So that's the Oh My G. Definitely perfect, not only for the singles, but for people with partners. And it's quite a unique toy, right? I haven't seen others like it. And they have a new one coming out that is even more my speed. It's called the Oh My C. And it's external for the external clitoris. And I'm more of an ex. Yeah, so I was actually using this one externally anyways, even though it's designed for the G-spot. So if you like both, I'd get the Oh My G. Because then you can use it internally or you can turn it upside down and do it externally. I brought some other toys out with me.
Oh, can we see? Can we see?
Yes. So one of my favorites is called the Nova 2 by WeVibe. And this is an internal, external toy. And I know it looks large as well.
But
it only the little bulb is going into the vaginal canal and that presses against the G-zone. And the external arm stays on the outside and vibes against the external clitoris. So it's really not an in and out motion. It's more of a bit of a rocking motion. And this is such a cool toy because each vibrator can be controlled separately. So you can use obviously the controls at the bottom of the toy, but you can also connect it to the WeConnect app, which means that if you are at home playing with this toy, you can allow a partner to pair with your toy and they can control it from afar. And the controls on the phone are super intuitive. You literally just pull your finger up to increase and pull your finger down on the screen to decrease. You can set it to vibrate to your favorite song. You can create your own custom vibration patterns. And to give people some context, you're all pretty familiar with the Rabbit Vibes. This is the Rabbit Vibe kind of 5.0, because the issue with many of the Rabbit Vibes was that the little ears didn't really provide enough pressure or stimulation against the clit on the outside. This toy is adjustable. So you're pretty much, I don't want to say guaranteed, there's no guarantees in life, but to get pressure against the clitoris on the outside while simultaneously stimulating the G-spot on the inside is far more likely. And it's more likely to create a full body sensation because you've got communication to the brain via multiple nerve pathways. So you've got the deep extensions of the vagus nerve internally. And then I believe that's the pudendal nerve with the clitoris. So you've got two different nerve pathways saying, woo, 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 this feels really good. So it can feel even more overwhelming.
Right.
And then I don't know if you have time for one more.
Oh, no, we do. We do. We always have time for toys. Those are good.
This is the Womanizer Premium. And so I love this toy. You'll see that the Womanizer is not a vibrator and they were quite a market disruptor when they launched, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, because they have this opening that looks like a kind of a little tiny short tunnel that fits around the head of the clitoris and provides this indirect stimulation through these gentle, quick waves of air. They're technically changes in air pressure, but it feels like oral sex. It feels like a cross between licking and sucking and vibing. Ooh. And the premium's really cool because it has an autopilot mode. So again, the toy brand is Womanizer. And it has an autopilot mode, so you don't have to think about it and it becomes unpredictable, which is, you know, when you ask about boring sex, sex obviously sex often becomes boring because it's predictable. So this allows you to kind of play with predictability. And it also has what's called smart silence technology, meaning when you turn it on, it's on standby. And then when it only really starts when you press it right up against your skin or very close to your skin. So if you have roommates or you have kids, they're not going to hear, although it's a very quiet toy anyway. So I actually, for all of these toys, at womanizer.com, wevibe.com, and at Ioba Toys website, the discount code is Dr. Jess to save.
I love it.
D-R-J-E-S-S. Yeah.
I love it. Because I think toys add a little something. Like if you are partners, or like if you have a partner, you know, you're playing together or they're watching you play, you know, or say you're in a long distance relationship, like the toy you saw that you can control with the WeVibe on your phone. Like these are audience. Tell people about these toys and use Dr. Jess's code on these websites because you need them. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, so much fun. And what I find is when you aren't in the mood, like we started with desire, sometimes just turning on the toy and trying it for 30 seconds, you're going to get in the mood. And I always tell people that in relationships, you know, when they say, oh, I'm not in the mood, I said, okay, so sometimes you can say, I'm not in the mood, I'm going to bed. But sometimes would you be open to saying, I'm not in the mood, but let's try this thing for 30 seconds and see if I get in the mood. Because if you wait until you're spontaneously in the mood to have sex, especially in longer term relationships, you may never have it because that spontaneity may not be there. And that's why you have to cultivate the desire for sex.
Right. Now, lastly, before we get to you sharing your contact information and how, you know, people can listen to your podcast, what about those couples or people who are intimidated about toys? I know we're kind of like talking about people who are into them already, but what if it's like, I've never tried a toy, or some people who are like, we don't need a toy because we have each other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think everybody needs to use toys. However, I wouldn't want you to avoid using toys because of intimidation or shame. So obviously a toy is never going to replace a partner. It's an accoutrement. So for example, right now I'm wearing contact lenses because I don't see as clearly as I would like to. So I use this device every single day without shame, without thinking about it, because it makes my life better. It enhances my life. So similarly, these toys are intended to enhance whatever connection, whatever pleasure you're already creating. And toys have so many benefits. So first of all, it gets couples talking about what they're into and what they're not into. It creates a sense of novelty and unpredictability. I would suggest that if you're new to toys and you do have a partner, perhaps you choose a toy that you can wear during the types of sex you already have. So for example, if you're having intercourse with a penis, maybe pick a vibrating ring. I don't have it on the table right now, but I love the Pivot. It's also by WeVibe, and my partner loves it too. And so it's a toy that you wear doing what you already were doing. So it's enhancing what you're doing to begin with, right? If you are playing on your own and you're new to toys, I would maybe suggest you begin with a little bullet vibe just to see if it's a fit for you. Because as you know, these toys come in all different price ranges. And, you know, in many cases, you kind of get what you pay for. Like, for example, with my WeVibe toys, this one's fairly new, but many of them I've had some of them for 10 years.
Right.
And they're still working. And I, you know, they're USB chargeable and all of that jazz. I use them all the time. I carry them with me wherever I go.
Oh, how does that happen on a plane though?
Oh my gosh. So actually the new toys, the toy that I really would recommend for people maybe as a starter is the Tango X by WeVibe, or my personal favorite is the Touch X. I love that toy, the Touch X, but they have a travel lock so it won't accidentally turn on while you're on the plane. But for me, every time I go through TSA and they say, oh, do you have a lot of computer mouse, like a number of computer mice in your bag? I'm like, no, those are sex toys. And then they get rid of me. They don't even want to deal with me. Like first I'm a heat score, right? I'm always getting my stuff searched. I'm always like secondary inspection. But when they find out it's sex toys, they, at least half of them don't want to deal with me, which makes me happy.
That is hilarious. I can't wait till I fly somewhere again and I have a toy in my bag.
Yes, yes, yes. I can't wait till I fly, period.
Right. Well, I'm 50% vaccinated, so hopefully. Yay. I got one more shot. So.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So we've had a great conversation today. I thank you so much for coming on Tea Time with Monica and spilling some tea about libido, sex toys, desire, and your new book. So can you tell my audience one where they can get your book, where how they can follow you and listen to your podcast.
Thanks so much. Yeah. So my podcast is the Sex with Dr. Jess podcast. We talk about everything from anal sex to emotional literacy. It's on all podcast platforms, or you can find it at sexwithdrjess.com. And my Instagram handle is Sex with Dr. Jess. So Sex with D-R-J-E-S-S. And that's the best way to find everything, everything about me, including all the links to the toys.
Okay. Thank you so much again. And thank you, audience, for listening to another episode of Tea Time with Monica. Bye, loves.
You've been listening to Tea Time with Monica. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast medium. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and follow me on social media at Monica_TheCurvyDiva, spelled M-O-N-I-C-A underscore T-H-E K-U-R-V-Y-D-I-V-A, and at Tea Time with Monica.